Today's program is brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
I'm Erica Watts, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, and welcome to A Taste of the Past. I'm your host, Linda Palaccio, on this half-hour journey through culinary history. And as we record this, it is just a couple of days before the vernal equinox. The vernal equinox, of course, ushers in springtime, a time of rebirth, of new beginnings, a time to plant seeds. It's also the beginning of the ancient Persian New Year, and the celebration is called Nowruz. With me today is Persian cuisine guru, or the guru of Persian cuisine, as she's hailed, Najmiye Batmanglish. And Najmiye is the author of Food of Life, Asian, Persian, and Modern Iranian Cooking and Ceremonies, Silk Road Cooking, A Vegetarian Journey, and Happy Nowruz, Cooking with Children to Celebrate the Persian New Year. The Persian New Year, Nowruz, is certainly a celebration for all the senses, and I'm very excited to learn from Najmiye what exactly goes on in her family and in many families throughout this celebratory holiday, and what some of the fabulous dishes are that are prepared. So I am so happy to welcome cookbook author and culinary educator Najmiye Batmanglish. Welcome, Najmiye.
Hi, Linda. Nice to be in your program.
Yes, and so tell me, are you already busy preparing dishes for the new year?
Yes, actually, I am. I just made a tray of baklava to take it to my sister tomorrow because she's older in the family. We visit the older people in the family for the new year. We're all going to be gathered there. So I'm making kuku sabzi, fresh herbs kuku, which is made of fresh herbs, a lot of eggs, and fried onions, and walnuts, and spices.
Well, now, that is something that I did want to talk about as we got on to some of the foods and the recipes, kuku. And we will get to that, because that is a traditional dish, the fresh herb kuku, right?
Right,
okay. But let's back... Let's back up a little bit and talk about, and first of all, talk about the celebration and some of its roots, some of the history of the celebration.
Okay. You know, in Iran, food is an essential part of every ceremony, and every ceremony has its own particular food. And for Nowruz, we have green menu, which I will tell you about it. Kuku, noodle soup, and rice with fresh fava beans, fish, and in some part of Iran they even have roasted spring lamb with all their trimmings. Now let me tell you a little bit about Nowruz. There's a month-long celebration. It starts 2 weeks before Nowruz, start 2 weeks before the New Year. The first appearance of the Nowruz is the appearance of the dancers and singers they call Haji Firuz. Haji Firuz disguise their faces with makeup, and they're wearing red tall hats and red outfits, singing and dancing through the street in Iran and announcing arrival of the new year.
Interesting.
So this is the That's the first sign that Nowruz is near.
Aha! Uh-huh. They sing the coming of the celebration, right?
They dance and sing. Yeah. They said Haji Firuz is here. It's once a year. Everyone knows it's here. I know it's here. Nowruz is here. It's once a year. That's what they're singing.
Well, I noticed in your book you have there's a wonderful illustration of some of these singers and dancers and the verse, probably the verse you just that you just told us, and it gives you that sense of levity, of joy, everyone dancing around and getting ready to party.
Yes.
Now, this holiday is, I mean, it's over 3,000 years old, right?
Yes. It is. Doruz goes back to at least 2,500 years. Has been celebrated and goes back to Persepolis, the ancient capital of the first Persian Empire.
Mm.
So it's not only Iranian, but many people from different parts of the world celebrate Nowruz.
Right, and Persia, example, and the Persian Empire at that time, of course,
right.
took over quite a lot
right.
of area.
For example, part of China, India, in Tajikistan, Afghanistan, in Azerbaijan and Kurdistan, they all celebrate Nowruz. And you see today Iranians inside Iran as well as in exile celebrate Nowruz more than ever because it unifies their Iranian identity. So we see more than ever celebration.
And something that I read, and perhaps you would know, that Iran has celebrated Nowruz nonstop through all the, you know, the different incursions and the Soviets takeover, and where a lot of other countries did not celebrate it. But Iran never interrupted their celebration. Always, every year, always celebrated the holiday.
Yes, that's because it's in, they want to connect with themselves with the ancient roots. Mm-hmm. When he reinforced their Persianness through
well,
the ages,
you know, it's not uncommon for so many different cultures to tie their holidays and celebrations to the seasons. You know,
yes.
For instance, the vernal equinox, the winter solstice. You know,
yes.
Ancient Greeks obviously did, and ancient Native Americans. So I was really, really intrigued and interested reading the background of Nowruz and the wonderful celebrations that take place, particularly the setting of the table, the haftseen. Can you
yes.
describe for us what the haftseen is?
Haftseen. In every Iranian household, a special cloth spread on a Persian carpet or on a table, and seven dishes start with letter S or sin in Persian.
Sin means the letter S.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sin in Persian are arranged on the table. They called sofre haftsin. Haft means seven. Sin is the letter S. Actually, haftsin, which I call it Nowruz table, haftsin based on fertility, rebirth, and renewal.
Hmm.
You see apple, hyacinth, sprout, white olive, garlic, vinegar, and you see candles, mirror, eggs, coins, and of course Nowruz sweets, such as baklava.
Mm, and you just finished preparing
and
the tray.
And a lot
right?
of gluten-free pastries, such as almond cookies, rice cookies, chickpea cookies, walnut cookies, that are all been cooked since ancient time.
And any particular reason, I mean, just the fact that they've been cooked since ancient, their ancient recipes, no particular reason that they are gluten-free. It just happens, excuse me, that they are gluten-free.
Because, you know, because cultivating wheat was very expensive. So that was alternative with a lot of other people. You know, you remember that's ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to use, for example, chickpea was much easier to make chickpea powder and make cookies with chickpeas.
Right.
And almonds, in ancient records we have almonds. Almonds was part of Iranian culture since ancient time. We have almond pastries with rose water and honey, 2,500 years. Herodotus talks about it, actually. So almond is part of Persian, and of course walnuts, trees. It's very famous in Iran.
Right.
So it's one of the reasons that they use gluten-free because of alternatives.
Now, how many days total are their feasts?
Yeah, the Persian New Year actually is one month long, so it's 2 weeks before the New Year. We have in the Persian kitchen, you see the, in the Persian kitchen, they start making pastries, and they are coloring eggs, germinating seeds. Then the last day of the last Tuesday nights of the old year before Nowruz, in the early evening, children dressed in sheet as ghosts, banging pots and pans with spoons, go door to door asking for trick or treats. Very much like Halloween in America.
Right.
And later, when the darkness falls, bonfires are lit on public places, and of course in the private gardens. Adults and children jump over the flames, shouting, "Give me your beautiful red color and take back my sickly pallor." So that's one of the ceremonies, and very special dishes cook in that day. Which is noodle soup, and special fruits and nuts.
Well, similar to the Chinese tradition, which obviously stems the same, the Chinese New Year, noodles have, they do have a significance, do they not?
Yes. Noodles, you must eat noodle. Sometimes some family, they make noodle rice, reshte polo, and the other family, they make noodle soup. Or shreshte, which noodles represent path of life. By eating them, you unraveling the difficulties of your life.
Interesting.
You must eat noodle. Sometimes they make it on the eve of the Wednesday, Shabbat Charsham Bishuri Suri. Sometimes they make it on the first day of Nowruz, the noodle soup or noodle rice. So noodle is very important. Yeah. Eggs as well is very important because eggs represent fertility.
Right, and
that's
rebirth.
Why you have cocoa. Mm-hmm. And,
okay,
and fish
so
represent life. That's why you have fish, definitely.
So if there were one, well, obviously you just said fish and eggs and the sprouts, the green herbs, the fresh herbs. If there were one dish in particular that to you signifies the Nowruz celebration, what would it be?
Yes, rice with fresh herbs. Very much with fish. That's rice because represent prosperity and herbs represent renewal. They call sabzi poloba mahi with fish, served with fish, which very much is associated with Persian New Year.
Interesting, yeah. Okay, so now we get to come to what is cuckoo?
Okay. Cuckoo is very much like quiche without the French quiche without the pastry.
Or
Italian frittata. It's a sort of omelette, a thick omelette with a lot of fried onions. In my cuckoo, it has a lot of fried onions and walnuts and eggs, a lot of eggs and tons of herbs, chopped fresh herbs. Aromatic herbs, and you can cook it in the oven or on the stove.
Well, it's an ancient recipe, so I would imagine it was cooked on an outdoor fire.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And they put they turn over the cuckoo. They cook one side and then turn over the other side.
Interesting.
So that's what they did. That's right.
Well, you
it's
have
a very primitive way of making a dish.
And you have many different recipes for different variations in
cuckoo. Yes.
Yes, in
cuckoo,
Food of Life.
That's right. Cuckoo is a favorite of Iranians. You know, you can make cuckoo and keep it in ancient culture because of lack of refrigerator. Cuckoo was a fantastic dish. You can keep it in a cool place. for at least 2-3 days.
Well, as a special treat for our listeners, we are going to post the recipe for your fresh herb cuckoo on the show page, so they'll be able to see that. And
that's great, and
that's why I wanted you to say that it was like a, you know, a frittata or a quiche, because I looked at it and I said, ah, yes, of course, cuckoo, the egg dish, you know, it's the egg-based dish, and not terribly difficult to make. So it's, I think it's a nice entry for people wanting to explore some Persian cuisine. It's, you know, it seems like it's very straightforward.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And you have to wash your herbs thoroughly and dry them thoroughly. That's the secret. And that's the secret of making good fresh herb cook.
Right. I want to talk about more of the specific recipes and some of the spices, the unusual spices that are used. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the spices that are important in the Persian food.
You are listening to Vroom Vroom by Ball of Flame Shoot Fire. This is A Taste of the Past on heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
And we are back. I'm speaking with Najmieh Betmanglish about Nowruz, the Persian New Year and Rite of Spring. And Najmieh, I wanted to talk about herbs and spices that are used in Persian cooking, that have been used for centuries in the cooking of the Persian Empire. One particular, or two actually, two particular things that came to note that are used quite often in your recipes, the use of barberries and sumac.
Yes, that's right. Barberries is kind of berries, the bush berries in eastern Iran, actually in Birjand, then harvested during the month of November. It's indigenous to Iranian cooking. You get it from Iran and you have to soak it, because it has a lot of sand, and you have to soak it and then drain it and caramelize it and before you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful dish. In Iran, you can, I was there last summer, they use barberry juice. Vendors on the streets, they give you barberry juice. They say it's a very powerful juice. It cleans you, so you have to have it at least once a year. And they dry, they use it in all kind of dishes. I love barberry.
Interesting. And does it have somewhat of a bitter flavor naturally?
No, it's very sour, actually.
But
it's
sour.
Sour
agent. Oh, sour, yeah.
It's a berry.
Oh, a souring, right, a souring.
It's a red sour berries, right. And then
like pomegranate.
Once again, yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. The seeds should be the color of pomegranate. Good fresh barberries, the season should be red like pomegranate seeds. Those of you to listening to this program, do not get barberry which they are dark brown. That shows that belong to the last season. They are old barberries.
Okay. So what, and sumac a lot. Now, sumac has really come back in fashion. I mean, never left, but it is having a bit of a rise in popularity in a lot of the recipes in America today, which, you know, ordinarily were not found. But sumac is something that's very common to a lot of the Persian recipes, right?
That's right. So sumac is also is berries, clusters. It mm-hmm. looks like a grapes, comes in the clusters. And in Iran, you have different kind of dark brown and you have red kind of sumac. And then they use it as a rub mixture, rubbing fish. It's a sour. Also, it's a sour agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you combine with lime juice, make it perfect and delicious for if you rub your fish with salt, pepper, and sumac. That's a great thing for fish, for chicken. Inside out, you rub it with sumac's mixture and roast your chicken. It's heavenly.
I want to ask about a lot of the recipes that you, of course, are familiar with and that appear in your books and certainly that you teach others. Are these recipes that are they written down anywhere, from history that you've gathered, or are they passed down from one generation, like a mother to a daughter?
Yes. My first cookbook, which was about 250 pages, I wrote it about 35 years ago. It was my mother recipe passed on to me mm-hmm. and from her. And then I started to do research. I read everything was about Persian foods and literature. I found in Book of the King, for example, one recipes of the use of lamb with rose water and saffron kebab, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used a lot of 10th century cookbook, 13th century cookbook, and 15th century book. We have a book of Boshaq wa Atameh, which is a whole book attributed to Persian food, but it's in poetry, which I found a lot of recipe, for example, Iranian used to have dumpling, a lot of dumpling, bulgur, and pasta. Last 500 years, now we have rice. So a lot of travel log, I read a lot of travel log. For example, Jean Chardin talks about Persian food in 16th century Safavid's court. And then we have this. I did a lot of research, and then when I find a new recipe in some kind of literature, I included in my book. So now I have my Food of Life cookbook has about 640 pages. For every recipe, there is a vegetarian recipe because of one of my son is vegetarian. And I include a number of recipes which I found it in old books.
Well, so in essence, the new edition of Food of Life actually doubled in size, right?
Yes,
and
right.
It is. I have to say, it is a gorgeous book, and the photography makes it so exciting because the fact that it is a very interesting and foreign culture to many of us, seeing the pictures just brings it all to life. And as you say, the color for Nowruz being red, there is a lot of beautiful reds coming out in so many of the photos. And I found that to be very interesting.
For Iranian feasting, your eyes is as important as your taste buds. So that's one of the important elements.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Colorful, yeah.
So what do you feel has been the influence of Persian food on world cuisine? A big question, but I mean, it's...
For example, noodle.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that technique for grinding wheat for pasta making traveled first to China and... Did you know that the art of noodle making traveled to Italy 200 years before Marco Polo took them to Italy?
Yes.
So that's noodle is one of the things.
Yeah.
And there are some dishes still in Eastern Iran that they have noodle, cooked noodle in yogurt sauce. So before tomato introduced to the New World, it seems Iranian used yogurt as a sauce. And then later on, tomato replaced the yogurt. So we have noodles in yogurt sauce. That's one of the things.
What about rice? And then when rice was introduced?
Yes, rice. Last 500 years, rice has been introduced to Iranian cooking. Of course, we know about the Second Persian Empire, 1600 years ago, there was mention of rice in their kitchen. But rice become popular last 500 years in Iran. First in the royal courts, they made elaborated rice. They always cooked rice, white rice. They parboiled the rice in salt and then shocked them with cool water and then steamed them with clarified butter, rose water, saffron. And the result is delicious and heavenly rice, very fluffy and separated.
Yeah, I mean, it's all
on its own.
All in the treatment of the rice, obviously, not just in the ingredient. And
well,
and now we see recipe. Well, you mentioned several of the different palaus, and if you look at the word, and then you realize palau, polu, pilaf. I mean, they're all very similar, right?
Yes.
Biryani, and then of course we have biryani in India, but all similar types of treatment to the rice. You've mentioned walnuts, pomegranates, barberries, sumac, chickpeas. Obviously noodles and fresh herbs and rice. Are there any other ingredients you can think of that are essential to Persian cuisine and or perhaps what you would consider most important?
Essential, I mean almonds.
Almonds
is a good example. Almond has been there since ancient time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2,500 years ago, Herodotus talks about a pastry with almond, honey, and rose water. And we know French macaroon made with almond sugar that has become very popular in America today is a direct descendant of a Persian dessert with almonds and honey
and rose water.
And delicate
they used rose water and the French did not, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Up to 17th century, macaroon. Rose water, macaroon was made with rose water and orange blossom.
Right.
And it disappeared somehow.
Hmm.
So that's one of the, almond is been, all we know of almond is one of the essential ingredients. Perhaps marzipan traveled to Italy via Iran.
Oh. Well, Iran and of course, the Middle East is so much in the news these days. But I think that it's so much more important for us to step back and look at the culture as a whole, and particularly by looking at this celebration of Nowruz, it just gives such wonderful insight into. And this is a secular holiday, Nowruz. It's right.
Yes. Nowruz is not a religious holiday. It's a spiritual holiday. It's a celebration of the earth and renewal of earth. Everyone can enjoy it no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so Iranians are very much, since ancient, are very much in tune with nature. So for every season, there is a celebration, and every season they have their own menu and own ceremonies.
Right.
So that's very Persian.
Well, I thank you for sharing the Nowruz celebration with us as much as our time would allow. I would love to be actually sitting at a table with you and going through each dish and tasting each dish. But your description was wonderful, and I thank you so much. And I encourage people to go to your website as well, which is najmieh.com, and they'll see that when they go on to the show, they'll see the spelling, The books, all the books are wonderful explorations into Persian cooking and history. And thanks so much for sharing it with me.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to A Taste of the Past, and I'm your host, Linda Palacio.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.